Hey, this is Luke. Welcome to Lure It Up Podcast. Powered by Bazodi Magazine. We'll be interviewing local creatives who were in and around the clock for the Popover season and beyond. Join us on this journey as we go behind the scenes of what makes Popover, Popover.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of the Lure It Up Podcast, powered by Bazodi Magazine, recorded by Robbie at Nameless Productions. On tonight's episode, we'll be featuring Shantae, the 2022 Junior Monarch winner, and also the National Culture Foundation's Music Officer, Kevin Moore. We hope you enjoy!
Welcome to Lure It Up Podcast with Bazodi Magazine.
Introducing Shanti, winner of Junior Monarch 2022. Sorry. So her stage name is Tay. Welcome, Tay. Thank you for coming to Bazodi Podcast. How are
Thank
you doing
you
today?
Thank you for having me. I'm amazing. You?
I'm good. I feel good. I feel excited to talk to fresh, new, young faces. I love to be in the winner's circle. Again, last week we had Kwan, and now we have you. And I would love to just hear your points of view of the entire experience. So first of all, you are not new to the winner's circle. This is your second time winning the Junior Monarch. So before we go into Junior Monarch, tell me, how did you get started? How did you get started singing? Because you sound like you're a singer. How did you get started singing? Tell me about your stage name before you go on, and then let's go into it. So
okay, so I started singing around the age of 9. It first started out when I was in the shower, where most things start for singers. I was singing just randomly, and my mother was like, you have a talent and I want to see where this can go. So basically, it was technically a little forced, but over the years, I grew to like it and I had fun doing it. So yes. And about my stage name, I used to just go as Shanti. I did that in 2019's competition for Junior Monarch.
Okay.
But then I decided, let's spice it up, change something, make something fresh, nice and short. So I just went with Tay. So, and it went well because a lot of people now call me Tay.
Okay.
Which sometimes is a little weird.
You don't like it?
No, I love it. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
I love Tay. I love the whole persona aura. But when I'm just me, I just want to be Shantae.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Give me one word to describe yourself on stage and off stage.
On stage, I would have to say energetic. Off, I would just say quiet.
Quiet, just chill.
Yeah, just chill.
Okay, off air, we were saying that you just graduated from school. Well, you got the honors roll at school. First of all, tell me what school you go to.
Combermere.
Yeah, so we have a Combermere here, and I did my research and I saw that she made the honors roll. What is it like to make the honors roll? What do you have to do? What do you have to achieve? How is your work ethic? How do you make the honors roll at Combermere?
If I'm correct, it's no failed subjects on 75% and up. For full farmers, I think it's at least 5 subjects for 75% and up.
Okay.
I've made honor roll every single term since I've been in Common Mirror.
What?
Yes.
That is amazing. Winning the Junior Monarch, how did you get started at? How did you start in Junior Monarch? What age did you start it at? Why did you choose to be in it? Why did you love singing? Why you just didn't, you know, go with ballads only and go into the calypso? How did you get started?
I entered Junior Monarch in 2019 where I sang Stop the Violence. It was basically just a trial run.
Oh, it was your first time?
Yes, so it was my first time in Junior Monarch ever. It was not necessarily my decision, but I'm glad I took up the offer. I entered under my school, obviously. It was fun. It was loads of fun. I met loads of good and awesome people in the competition. Saying calypso was a little hard though.
Really?
Yes, because the phrasing is really different from my what I normally do with like ballads and R&B. So it was a little hard to get the calypso phrasing properly.
Okay. That's interesting because you said you had a good time. You did it through school. And as I was doing my research, I realized that majority of the entries from Junior Monarch are through school. So how does that work? Do you have a workshop? Do you have are you in a music program? How does that work at school?
I believe they had workshops back then. Mm-hmm. This year, we didn't go through school still. Mm-hmm.
I think you did a virtual audition, right?
I didn't have to audition because I was raining.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
But I believe they did virtual auditions.
Okay. Yeah. So tell me about the process from the difference between 2019 and 2022, pre-COVID and post-COVID. How was your journey? Obviously, you would have done in-person auditions or in-person classes and training, but this time it would have been a little bit different around. How was that for you?
For me, it was a little bit of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, two different types of songs that I was singing. For 2019, it was more of delivering a serious message and pleading for persons in Barbados to stop violence at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And 2022 is just about being blessed, you know, partying,
yeah,
doing it nice again.
Tell me a bit about this song. Tell me how it, what's the song about?
So I was engaged to the world, as you know.
Yes.
Came second.
Yes.
After that, Mikey Hilsmeyer contacted my mom.
Okay.
And we went to TC and stuff to record the song. So it was just like, I think the Monday after the competition, I was in studio and the song was done.
Okay.
It was a really quick process.
And wow. It was so really fun. Let's bring it back. Bring it all the way back. So you're into singing. You entered Beige to the World. You came second in this competition. Immediately after that, you went into the studio. And within like a day or two, your song was finished.
My song was finished.
Wow. Yes, girl. Get it working. Work it. And the name of this song is Party Nice Again. I would have watched an interview when you won. And you said, and you quote, "When I sing my song, I like to sell my message that we are blessed." What does blessed mean to you? How does that make you feel while singing that song?
For me, it's like after COVID, we're getting the opportunity to do all these different types of stuff again that we used to do mm-hmm. before. So it's just like not taking life for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Just enjoy every moment of life because you never know when it will end. Mm-hmm. And God has allowed you to see another day on this earth.
Wow. I also heard you said just now that you went to TC.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of TC and a lot of Kelly Cadogan.
I get that so many times.
You get that a lot? Yes. I see it in your mannerisms, in the way you sing. And I mean, you know, that could be inspiration. But does she inspire you or do you have other inspirational forces around you?
Of course, I have other inspirational forces around me. But TC also, she taught me a lot throughout the season. Her and Natalie were, I got to know a lot better through Big Show tent this year.
Oh, you're in the Big Show tent?
Yes, please. It was my first year ever in tent.
Oh my gosh. Tell me about it.
It was fun, you know. I got closer to the two of them,
mm-hmm.
their manager, everybody else in
which
the tent.
Which is Sonia.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It was just so much fun.
It was vibes. Fun?
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, your tent atmosphere versus the junior morning atmosphere is a little different because it's a lot of energy and the crowd is amazing and you got it more than one night and you get to perform and improve every single night. So how was that performing your song in the tent? Especially Big Show, because that's a big tent.
Before I answer that question,
mm-hmm.
I also wanted to mention that being in a tent with well-rounded artists and persons who have been in the game for way longer than I have been, it was really also inspirational. It was educational because I would get tips from every little artist and I would watch as they perform to see what I can add from their performance to my performance. You know? It's like a learning experience. Right? Yeah. But to answer your question though,
yes.
Performing my song in tent was, honestly, it was amazing.
Really?
I say that because mm-hmm. the first night I sang my song in tent, I was confused.
Mm-hmm.
Why? People were clapping and I was like, what is going on?
Why? You didn't think they were like,
what? I mean, yes, I expected this to clap, but when they were clapping continuously and not stopping, I was like,
right, I heard you got a standing ovation.
I was so lost.
Okay, yes, I did read that you got a standing ovation. Yes. over. How was that for you?
It was heartwarming.
Like, really?
It really was.
I would have cried.
The first night, I was so confused.
I was confused. Wow. And I guess told, you were the youngest in the tent as well, right?
I was told I have to go back on stage to sing. I'm like, is this what an encore feels like?
It is an encore. Yes. Okay, so moving from Big Show onto Junior Marner, how was the competition itself? You know, you have backstage, you got other people warming up, singing. Before we get to the stage, I know you trained with Kelly Cadogan. Did she train you for this specifically? Or did you have other trainers and writers and stuff like that helping you in the studio?
Well, originally, I am a member of East Point Productions. Mm-hmm. So Kelly Cadogan would have came on board this competition to sponsor me. Okay. So I want to thank her for that as well.
Yes. Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah, she trained me for Dream Hunter.
Mm-hmm. So for the entire time?
Yes.
Okay. And then coming on to the night of the show, how do you train? What do you do with your voice? How do you warm up? How is the camaraderie like in backstage? Like, how is it?
I actually got to do the competition with one of my closest friends from Barbados, the orchestra.
Okay.
Her stage name was Natania. Well, obviously her name is Kaya.
Okay.
Love her to death.
Shout out to Kaya. Hi, Kaya.
But being backstage, it's like you gotta stick in your own circle, your mm-hmm. personal space, because mm-hmm. when you see people getting ready and you're seeing outfits and everything, you're like, it gets to you, right? Because then, before in competitions, I always was pessimistic.
Yes,
I was a very pessimistic person.
So what changed your perspective on that?
I guess when I changed my mindset, instead of being competitive,
mm-hmm.
to just having fun. Because wow. I am naturally a very competitive person.
Mm.
So I guess the pressure used to get to
For a girl that's on a roll, you probably would be.
Yes.
But I love that perspective shift where you forget the competition and just enjoy it, which is very much what your song is saying, like, party nice again. I really want to get into the details of singing.
Mm.
And because I really love your voice. You have an amazing voice. Where do you think you're going to take singing and calypso and ballads and R&B? Where do you want to take it?
I aspire to become an international artist.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a versatile artist. I don't want to sing just one genre. And BS Did World actually allowed me to see that I want to do that even more, because the competition was one of its own.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing a new genre each week was not necessarily challenging for me.
And you sang a lot of Whitney Houston.
Yes.
I know. I did my research and that is not easy.
Mm-hmm. It was not necessarily challenging, but it was more to see what I can do. It's like, people say separate the sheep from something. I don't know what, I can't remember the saying, but
sheep and the wolves.
Yes, mm-hmm. something like that. But being versatile is like you get to express yourself not only in one genre.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I used to sing ballads a lot back in Richard Stout competition.
Oh, yes. Okay. Give me more, Richard Stout. Okay, there's more. Tell me about that.
That was actually the first competition I think I've ever in.
Okay. So you started Party Monitor at what age? 14? Not Party Monitor, sorry. Junior Monitor.
I think 11, because I was in first form.
11.
I think 11.
So then you're Richard Stout younger than that?
Yes, about the same line.
Nice.
That was the first competition my mom got me into.
Oh my God. So 9, okay. And then when did you start with Kelly? Before that?
No, after.
Okay. So we started singing at 9. Then what school did you go to in primary school?
I was at Granny Prescott at that time.
Okay. So singing at 9, enter Richard Shaw in 11, Junior Marnick 14, winner 14, but yes. Then you win again on your birthday 16. No?
No.
15. I'm trying to get in timeline. All I'm saying is you've achieved so much in so young in short space of time. There's so much more to achieve, to offer to yourself. What are you looking to do next year?
Next year, I'm looking to be a little bit more active in the crop of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Also looking to release some more songs, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but not soca.
Not soca?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to be on the soca arena next year?
No, of course.
Yeah.
Along with crop over and soca, okay. I want to release like properly a reggae, because I like reggae.
Oh, wow. Are you into writing as well, or you just want to sing?
I write. I co-wrote Stop the Violence, and I also wrote Have Hope, which I sang in Beach to the World.
Who is the writer for this song that you sang?
A Trinidadian writer named Jason Shaw.
Okay, we know Shaw.
Yeah.
Perfect. So we got Shaw, and then also in the training process, were any of the NCF musicians helpful for you, like Kevin?
I would have to say yes,
okay.
because he provided basically vocal training for Junior Monitor, which was really helpful. It allowed me to kind of, not necessarily train my core,
mm-hmm.
but breathe when singing, because I had a slight problem with that, okay. especially in Beach to the World.
With your diaphragm?
Yes.
Okay, good. We were talking about your style and your fashion off air, but you're giving me cool, chill demeanor. But on stage, I see diva. Tell me, who is your fashion team? What is the concept like? Do you like getting ready to transform on stage? Tell me about that.
Well, the Shanta you're speaking to, no. Hates getting ready and putting on makeup and all of that.
What?
But
I love it.
And my other persona that I use on stage, she loves it.
She loves it. So you got alter ego.
Yes.
Okay. So alter ego got makeup done, hair done, like the outfits, guys. I wish you can see her. Then again, you can see. Go on her page, go on all the social media outlets and see the amazing outfits that she has. And she transforms. Wait till she gets older. Like, you can got some heels on, some hair. That's going to be so fantastic. So you have two, like, you have a stage presence and then just a chill presence, which is Shanti and Tay. I love it.
For Gina Monarch, the concept of the outfit actually came up from highlighters.
Really?
Yes. We were speaking about what I was looking at for the vision of the stage. And then all of a sudden, my pencil case was on the table.
Wow.
So
it's called creativity.
Yes. So the person that created my outfit, whose name is Rico.
Yeah.
Okay, he just saw these highlighters and was like, oh my gosh, I just got the idea. That's exactly what he said.
What?
Yes. So we went to the theme of a glow party.
Okay.
Yes.
That is wildly and madly creative. I love that. Okay. So to end it off, I want you to sing a song for me.
Okay.
I want you to, we're gonna get cool with it.
Okay.
So you ever watch Song Association?
Yes.
Yes. Let's do that.
Okay.
Quick.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a word.
Oh my.
One word. We got this.
Okay.
And you can, and I'm going to give you a word and a genre. So say the word is love, reggae. Okay. All right. So ready for the first one?
Yeah.
So the first one is love. And I want a ballad.
I was getting kind of used to being someone you love, and all the day bleeds into nightfall. Mm-hmm. And you're not here to get me through it all. Mm-hmm. I let my guard down, then you pull the rug.
Hey.
I was getting kind of used to being someone you love.
Wow. I feel we gotta do one more. Okay, ready?
Okay.
One.
One love, one heart. Hey. Let's get together and feel all right.
Oh my god.
It's okay.
I almost did it. Almost.
Close enough.
Okay. Awesome. One love. Okay, girl. This was fantastic. So happy to meet you. I'm wishing you success. You know, outside of the Soca Arena and the Calypso Arena, you have an enormous talent. And I am wishing you love, prosperity, and, you know, expand and explore. Is there anything that you would like for the season next year to look forward to?
I would have to say just to perform almost everywhere.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was out a lot this season, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I love stage and I just love it. The person that I get to be when I'm not quiet. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, congratulations. Thank you so much. It's a great interview. See you next year.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome to the Lore Up Podcast, powered by Basil D Magazine. Awesome. So we're back here with Kevin Moore, Cultural, Music, and Education Officer for NCF. So before we go on, I just want to let you know that you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
And I say that because we just had the winner of the 2022 Junior Monarch, Shanti T. Yeah. So congratulations. Good job. Keep it going. It's only up from here.
Thank you.
So I know you've waited from before. But I want you to tell me, where did your music love start? I know you start with the brass, which is trumpet. Any other brass instruments?
No, I just play trumpet. Actually started playing trombone. That lasted for about a week.
You sound like my brother. He started with trombone too.
The trombone choir gave me case wasn't really shutting properly, so I had to strap it up with like
It's also weird to walk around with a trombone case.
A bungee cable catching bus.
Oh my gosh.
And then I was like, nah, I ain't playing that.
Okay.
So I asked my mother going to me a trumpet and she did, luckily. But where music started for me, I can't say where it started because I was around music from, I guess, before I born. My father was an organist.
So I connect with that. My dad's saxophonist.
I grew up in church playing Well, not playing, watching my father play. Mm. And then if my mom had a girl and I'm with my dad and he's at the church practicing, mm-hmm. the only thing to do is sit down and look
just
at
just Anglican church, no, right?
Methodist.
Oh, okay.
Sit down on the organ with him and watch, try to figure out what it is that he's playing. And that's how he learned to read, even before he could play an instrument. And then around 9 or 10, I joined a group called the Bethel Chimers. Mm-hmm.
Ding, ding.
Yeah, yeah. That's really where my love for music playing came in. Mm-hmm. And then I started to play trumpet at Common Mirror when I was in like third or fourth form. I was in fourth form. And from there, it just blossomed.
Did you do music theory?
Yes, I did. Music theory came to me easily because I learned to read before I knew that I learned to read.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because again, I used to sit down and watch my dad playing and try to figure out where he was in the music.
Yeah, it would be easier to read music with the keyboard, with the organ, for sure, than the actual instrument.
Well, I mean, trying to figure out the four-part harmony that he was playing, I think was a little challenging. Uh-huh. But by the same token, just trying to follow along and find which notes he was playing at which point in time, mm-hmm. that allowed me the ability to be able to read. So by the time I took up an instrument, now I was like, yeah. I could read. And so then
usually people start by ear.
By ear and then learn to read. Mm-hmm. And then I did theory. At that point in time, Common Mirror had music classes. So from the time I was in second form, I was put in a music class and we did music classes, how to do ABRSM grades. So we did theory up to grade 5 in third form. And then I just focused on CSC from then because I stopped.
I feel CSC music. So bad. I know. It was just, my mind was just somewhere else.
Yeah. But I would say CSC music is very difficult.
It's like algebra.
Yeah, compared to what we challenge our students doing in Barbados and the Caribbean musically.
Yeah,
many people internationally are not doing.
Yeah,
so that, I guess that's why the standard of music in Barbados is so high, because a lot of our guys, when they excel at the secondary level, are way above their counterparts in terms of understanding music on a whole.
Yeah,
not that, well, playing wise, overseas people play a lot more, mm-hmm. but just understanding music as a whole, how to create all everything, we do a lot of that in schools in preparation for CSE.
So how did you jump from playing at Common Mirror to probably playing in separate little bands, youth orchestras, different little stuff, to being a cultural officer?
How that happened? Not enough years. And
what made you like say, man, let me just put myself in this huge role?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of realizing what skills I had while playing and coming along. In all the bands I would have worked with from school, I always ended up being the leader. Organize this, organize that. And then, so I'll be organizing rehearsals, organizing dress, organizing call times, all of that stuff. And then the transition to BCC, again, when I was a student there, doing the same thing, band leading for different groups I was with there. And then the tutors that I was with at BCC and even Common Mirror just pulling me along, saying, "Oh, you come and play with me here." Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, it wasn't playing for the money. It was like, all right, I go up gig, come and sit in on the gig and come and play. And in that way, I became known amongst musicians. Mm-hmm. And then leadership naturally followed after. And then I was teaching and the opportunity opened up at NCF. And I was like, well, this is pretty much all of my skills in one. Organizing, preparing people for performances, coming up with content, coming up with ideas and
basically
pushing those
music
ideas.
Production. Correct. On a production site.
Yeah, yeah. Creating content, creating programs, creating opportunities, and then also organizing events, organizing on that level. So and still working within the realm of music. So it was like all
that's
of my...
That's like a dream job, boy.
Yeah. It's a good job.
Okay.
All of my talents wrapped up in one package. So it was a good opportunity. I mean, I thought to jump at it.
Fantastic. Again, fast forward to this year, 2022. I was watching an interview that you did with Luke Barbados. And they asked you on the upcoming days and weeks, how are you looking to prepare for Junior Monarch? And you said it's a little bit harder because they had to do online auditions.
Yeah.
Outside of that, how was the authenticity of the music for the online auditions based on the in-person auditions where you would have like a workshop process and all that?
Right. So generally for Junior Monarch, as you would have mentioned, there's a workshop process. You go to your workshop, you sit down with the keyboardist, if you grow your song, you do a lot of practice sessions and then you do into the audition.
Mm-hmm.
This year, based off of how the year was, remember Barbados was shut down in March.
Mm-hmm.
There was literally nothing happening in February and March.
Nothing.
Right? So when we were given the go ahead for a crop over late March, early April, I think, it was like, what can we execute and how can we execute it as quickly as possible?
Mm-hmm.
And Junior Monarch, which originally this year was a showcase, but it morphed into a competition again. And as that process went on, we said, well, we can't go back to having 150 people at Queen's Park. First of all, we didn't have access to Queen's Park Steel Shed because it's being used as a COVID center. Having 150 people at any location, coming up one after the next to sing on a mic, working out that process. I mean, if you think back to how Barbados was in March, working out that process at that point in time was like, this ain't really going to work. So
what can
we
do?
Correct. So we decided to go with a virtual audition. We invited the public to, once they give permission to their children, to audition using videos. And we did not judge the video quality, obviously, because everyone doesn't have access to the same technology.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, I may have access to a producer and I may be able to go in the studio and record my song properly, whereas you may not have access. Yeah. You may just record with your phone and your music teacher in the background, whatever, playing keyboard behind you.
Mm-hmm.
We got judges who understood what we were trying to do in terms of the developmental work we were trying to do, considering that the virtual audition would have been a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And we went forward with the process. We had some good auditions and we therefore had to do some workshopping with them, because obviously generally Junior Monarch, as I said, we have a lot of rehearsal sessions, a lot of practice sessions. We went from the audition straight into rehearsals, straight into the lunchtime concert, straight on stage. So this process literally took like 5 weeks. Junior Monarch normally starts in March, April. And by the time you see the finalists, the second week of July or whatever, that's been a good 3 months of preparation.
So you think the quality of the music has dropped this year because of that process?
Definitely not. Quality of music this year was great. Actually, this was the first year we did soca as a category for prizes.
And not only the
best soca song or whatever. Okay. Normally the best soca song or whatever.
Yeah.
This year we did soca as a category and it went well. It went great.
Mm-hmm.
We had some amazing soca songs. We had amazing soca songs written by these children. I mean, straight off my head, Josh Ott came. Josh Ott submitted his song. And what happened in this program was there were different levels of development. Josh Ott came and he had a song. And when we listened to it, we were like, oh, he had a junior song, but it had some senior lyrics in it.
Mm,
and he was like, Josh, can't go for this, but we'll work with you.
Yeah.
So we put Josh to work with Mr. Dale, and Mr. Dale worked with him on his lyrics.
Oh, I love that.
And
also, Tay went with TC.
Right,
she did tell us.
Right, but Tay did a lot of mentorship with TC, but her song was written by Shaft.
Yeah,
as well.
she said that.
There was another guy, Joshua B. Mm-hmm. And his song again was a nice song, melody good. Mm-hmm. But then when we hear a certain part, it's like, all right. So we put him with Shane Jones from Water Street Boys.
Yeah, he was here last week as well.
Right. Shane assisted him in that's tailoring the lyrics more to a junior audience.
Okay.
Because if you're being honest and fair, this is the first time that they would have had the opportunity to write a soca song for a junior audience.
Okay.
Any young soca writer would have been writing for a senior audience before because there was nothing for them.
That's interesting.
So we tried our best to guide them. And that soca segment went down great. I mean, the Calypso segment was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was, we had good offerings. We had good music. Everything went down good. But the soca section, it was the highlight of the show for me because on that night, I could see the future of Barbadian soca really developing and taking its way forward. Mm-hmm. Where before, and if you check it, there was nothing really developing soca artists.
You just get dropped straight
from
in
a junior level.
Yeah,
you just,
yeah.
You, from junior, you did Junior Monarch and you jump into soca.
Yeah, like Coco is a great example.
Right, he won Junior Monarch
a million times.
Yeah. And Sarul as well.
Yeah.
And they did Junior Monarch, which was predominantly Calypso, and then jumped into soca. So, but we wanted to work on all spheres of the industry within Junior Monarch, and which is where we tried to include Bashment. We got a lot of pushback on that.
Okay.
But the Bashment, the one Bashment entry that we got did very well in the soca segment as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that persons did not understand that you can have a Bashment rhythm with wholesome lyrics. And from...
I guess the whole play on the metaphors and stuff like that.
And then I think it's on us at the National Cultural Foundation to really educate students, schools, teachers, parents, the public on a whole on what our culture is and what our culture really means. And rather than be skewed by certain subsets of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lovely. I also listened in that same interview, you're speaking about the build back phase of Junior Martyr, because there were 3 years that you missed out. So, for instance, you would have had like a 14-year-old.
Correct.
And then 3 years later, the 17, 18.
Correct.
And then you have like, okay, there's a whole generation that you missed out. So now you have to figure out, how are we going to get these kids from this gap to get back into the prime market? So how did you work that one?
Well, this year we didn't really work it. I would say that we were lucky enough to get a good cross section of persons entering. What was telling us that we had no 7-year-olds in the competition. And I think that it was telling because generally you have a lot of them who were interested from the 10-year-old, 5 or 6. But when you study the 7-year-olds this year, would not have ever witnessed Junior Monarch after they were 3.
Oh my gosh.
So the reality is that the interest for them, there would have been nothing to garner interest for them in lead up to it. I think what this year really did, or what the idea for this year was, to just get it back on the road, get a proper show happening, get development happening, and for next year we'll see how we can continue to improve on it again. And if you use the example of Aaliyah and Ahanjay won, Aaliyah came second. The last time Aaliyah sang in Junior Monarch, she was 14. The last time Ahanjay sang in Junior Monarch, she was 14. Both of them, this was their last year of Junior Monarch.
Shoot.
Right, so it's a situation where you went from being a 14-year-old in the Junior Monarch. All right, you got 3, 4 more years. You know what I mean? Last year. and if you even look at it like this, Kwon, who won the last Junior Monarch before this year, won Pickety Crop this year. That would have been his last year. That would have been his last year in Junior Monarch.
Yeah.
And he came and won Pickety Crop. So within 3 years, we had a situation where there was no development of, as you would say, a generation, because Junior Monarch age group is 7 to 18, 3 years is a big gap of persons to miss.
Their voice also would change. Yeah,
exactly.
This is the last one I'm going to ask you about Junior Monarch, but this is all on the case of the build back process. You used a lot of schools, but within that 3 years, it was hard to get the schools back in. What are the other measures that you would probably use outside of school then?
Right. So this year, we did not go through the schools, mainly because, again, in March, when the country opened back, schools really did not.
It was trickling in. Yeah. They wasn't really focused on anything like that.
Yeah,
either.
It was exam period. And when you look at it, if you look at a regular school week, a teacher, we use music teachers, will see a student 5 days a week. They teach the student probably once or twice if they're in secondary school. But you see the student 5 days a week. Whole school was going on the blended approach for more schools. To see that student 5 times, you got to see that student over a 2 or 3 week period. So therefore, to go through the school to get that 5 lunchtime rehearsals that the music teacher would normally have would then take 2 or 3 weeks, which we did not have within our program. We didn't have the time. What we did here, we went with the idea of having some champions, some young influencers, persons who have a connection with the younger audience. We got them to get the word out there about Junior Monarch.
Along the influencer marketing. Correct.
So we went through, and I can mention it, iWeb got a lot of traction.
He Dynamo, was at school.
Correct. Dynamo, who would have won Junior Monarch a couple of years ago as well. He has a huge social following, and we went through him as well. Sluggy Dan, who does a lot of work with the youth, we went through him, and he also got some interest in Junior Monarch, as well as Nikita. And these persons really pushed on their social media, get out, enjoy Junior Monarch, submit auditions, whatever the case may be. They got all the information out there, and that's how we disseminated information, as well as our usual channels, our social media, our radio ads, GIS, everything that normally goes out in a marketing sphere.
Fantastic. One of my favorite events for Cropover was Pandemonium. And let me tell you, that event was sweet, sweet, sweet. I love Pan. But outside of the Pan, I love the atmosphere. It was wide. You had 2 stages, the main stage, and then you had a moving stage with the steel pan. The production was fantastic. It started in the afternoon and went into the night. You mixed your steel pan with the musicians. Like, I feel like, oh my God, it's finally Cropover. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you just got it fast, a little sweet, but and then it was well spaced out. You could go with your family, you could bring all your drinks. Like, it was perfect. First, it was kind of like Pan on the Sand, but that was the first event. How was it for you? What was your role in that?
Okay, so Karen Pastina was the producer of Pandemonium. I assisted her. I naturally, the National Youth Theatre Orchestra falls under my ambit.
Okay.
So that was my involvement. And then as it came along to the show, I would assist Kieran in terms of the organization and the musicians and the bands and whatever, how we did our sound checks and our everything dealing with music for the end of the show, mm-hmm. for the show itself. It went great for us. I think that the space proved to be a good space in that persons could comfortably enjoy themselves yes. in their families.
And it gave you room for creativity.
Correct. There were persons listening that were not even visible. There were persons on, I don't know what, because Botanical Garden got different names on different spaces, but there were persons far out that sitting down under a tree just listening because they didn't want to come close. Mm-hmm. They were, like, it was great. The stages, there were actually three. There were two moving stages.
Oh, okay.
So when one stage was performing in front of the audience, the other one was being loaded.
Oh,
and we did a rolling circle.
Oh, yeah, I remember
so
saying that.
So that aided with the issue of picking off stands, putting on and picking up pans and stands on stage in front of the audience.
Yeah.
It takes time. I know previously on Pan on the Sand, they would have had two different stages.
Mm-hmm.
So when one stage is performing, the next stage is being set up, et cetera.
Yeah.
This allowed us to have these entertainment be the focus consistently.
Yeah, and then it we went to the all of my senses, everything. Correct.
And then we went to the main stage for the National Orchestra, which was just amazing on the night.
But we did a good job.
Yep, I think mm-hmm. that we had, and there was bursts with people, but there was still space.
It was almost as much as tipsy.
I think it was more than tipsy.
And that was crazy. Because I didn't feel squeezed at all. Yeah. It had room.
Yeah, and then they had the kids' area. Persons brought their kids and literally stayed in the kids' area for the
whole time.
Day.
The pan would then be like ambient music. You
correct,
know what I mean?
Correct. Something there for everyone. Kieran had asked our visual arts officer to provide the en plein air painter, Mr. Neville Legall, and he was there doing en plein air while at Pandemonium.
Mm-hmm.
And it went great. I mean, it was something there for everybody. Everybody enjoyed it. The kids could ride horses.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an amazing event.
I think y'all should keep that event.
Yeah.
Leave Papony Sun for like whatever it was before and just keep that environment. I think it was very family oriented.
And the fact that families could come out, I think it was very important because that was the first major.
Yeah, I can't think about anything else that you could do.
That was the first major national set, like.
Mm-hmm.
Party type event
mm-hmm.
and it was free, and that's what really kickstarted a couple of it in my opinion because mm-hmm. persons came out in their droves.
Mm-hmm. I also saw a lot of tourists.
Correct. I mean, and that's the sort of time that you get a lot of tourists coming in for Cropover.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in CF, we did the Sweet Lines before, which got a lot of locals. They had a lot of tourist interaction mm-hmm. too, depending on where we were.
Mm-hmm.
But it had a lot of locals coming out to the smaller shops and interacting with the artists and stuff like that. But on a large scale, I think Pandemonium really kickstarted the festival and jumped the activities really mm-hmm. up until Kanuma Day.
Well, speaking of kids starting a festival, Soca Rush and something that's also new, but not so new, and probably one of the only competitions this year, seemed like a success. I didn't go to that one, but it seemed like the first show.
Yeah.
Everything else was like a DJ playing music and stuff like that. But this one was a show.
Yeah.
For me, based on the other artists that were here last week, they wished that they had the opportunity to enter younger people in the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's possible?
That's a two-edged sword.
Like, for instance, you said Soca is a new category for Junior Monitor.
Right.
Those Junior Monitor kids go into Soca Rush?
As I was saying, that's a two-edged sword. And the reason I say that is because at the end of the day, as the National Cultural Foundation, we still have to have a level of responsibility in regards to who we put on the stage and when we put them on the stage. Obviously, we also have to be respectful not only of our job in terms of how we educate and
social responsibility.
And that social responsibility. But mm-hmm. we also have to understand that if you have certain sponsors sponsoring certain things, then you can't have kids performing on that stage.
Got it.
So for instance, I personally don't think that it would be prudent to have a junior artist on a stage with
Nikita.
An alcoholic brand. Not necessarily Nikita, but an alcoholic brand or somebody that sponsors cigarettes or whatever the case may be. So you have to be very mindful of how we, because that imagery has an impact. As minuscule as it may seem,
mm-hmm.
that imagery has an impact.
Would you bring back the competition next year?
I don't have power to make decision.
Do you want it to come back?
I like the idea of soul corruption. I like the idea of the...
Because then that can't slow party money then.
No, I don't think so. I like the idea of the soul corruption, the night before Kaduma performing that rush. So soul corruption, leave soul corruption early morning, go home, get 2 hours on the road for Kaduma Day. I like that idea. But in terms...
Usually, right, for me as a performer, performing for a very long time, that space would have been cobbled apart.
Yeah.
And we obviously would have been rehearsing at other fests, performing at other fests. Even before Cahabla Pot was at Kensington, it was at the stadium. Sure. They got the king and the queen and the bands. Sure. So you would see that and then the performers. So that would have led you straight into Kaduma Day. I feel, me personally, I like Cahabla Pot way better than Soul Corruption. Because you get to see the old performers, the new performers. It's like Cavalcade on steroids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas Soul Corruption is, you know, like people's choice.
I would say that Soul Corruption, we had an amazing show. We had the people's choice persons, but we also had Edwin on Crossfire did a set.
Okay.
And then we had Big E, Peter Ram, Lil Ray, Allison Hines, Red Plastic Bag, Marsville.
So it's kind of like Cobble Pot then.
Correct. But you didn't have the King and Queen and the band, etc. But we still had all the elements of what would have been a normal Cobbler Pot years ago.
Yeah.
So as I said, I like the idea of Soul Corruption. I'm not sure about the competition aspect. The competition aspect is, that's really up to artists because believe it or not, the NCF, we consult with the artists and their representatives on what they want before any festival is done.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to what is done for NIFCA.
Mm-hmm.
The consultations, those consultations happen. So I don't think that that's a unilateral decision that will be made by the NCF or by the artists or whatever the case may be. A discussion would be had, and that discussion would inform the direction that the next couple of festival takes in terms of competition and stuff.
Perfect that you ended this way, because that's the last question to ask. What are you looking forward to 2023? Tell me things that you would take. Like, I can tell you first. The things that you would take out, and the things that you would put in, and the things that you would leave. I can start first. I would keep a different route. I would mix the route. I would not take it on the highway. I would take it on the highway and bring it down to Spring Garden, because you got in at Spring Garden. That's one. So I would put that in. I would bring back Cahabla Pot. Keep Soca on the hill after Kaduma Day, because it was like the day after Kaduma Day and they had a great turnout. And where is Kitty's Kaduma?
Right. So this year, because of how things were when we planned the festival, Kitty's Kaduma was not part of it, but there was a project run throughout the schools called Junior Masquerade Project.
I did see that. I see that.
And that had great response.
I saw that.
So I don't know.
I think that was a safer way to do stuff.
Yeah, it was a safer way for this year for sure. I don't know what the future of Kitty's Kaduma or the Junior Masquerade Project is, but I can say that juniors will never be left out of the masquerading fraternity as long as the NCF is doing their stuff.
What are you looking forward to?
Looking forward to.
Yes.
I definitely want to see Pandemonium again.
Mm-hmm.
I say I want to see, but even though I might end up having to be a part of it, I will have it to be a part of it, but I definitely want to see Pandemonium again. I like the Soul Corruption idea the night before Kaduma. There was something we did for Kaduma Day this year. We had some satellite stages.
Oh, that was great.
But there was one at Huddle Turning, one at Bell, one at...
I love that you end at Botanical Gardens and have fireworks. And, oh my
there
God,
was
that
one
was
at
perfect.
Botanical Gardens, one on Waterford, and one by Bussa. And on those satellite stages, between the bands coming, while persons were there, waiting for bands to come, et cetera, we had DJs, we had community music groups, Israel Level.
Yes, I did see that. And they did that for, what's the thing at night?
Four day morning.
Israel Level had the buckets and things.
Correct. So that we did that through our Iron Massive project. That was an NCF Iron Massive project.
Mm-hmm.
We put them on the road for Kaduma Day.
You see that come out with that concept, Iron Massive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we are definitely, I definitely will look forward to possibly seeing that again next year. The groups on the road for the stages. There was another thing for Kaduma Day where we put NCF had trucks on the road for Kaduma Day.
Okay.
So there was an artist truck which was at the front.
Yeah, did you see that?
Had artists performing, and then there was one truck with Phoenix Steel and another truck with Euphony Steel, who would have also performed at Pandemonium.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see that definitely going forward. Junior Monarch, I want to see Bashment. I want to see my Soca people again.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the Calypso people continue to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
I want Junior Monarch to be able to develop artists in every sphere of Barbadian expression around Kwapova. Mm-hmm. So how we normally express ourselves via Calypso, Soca, and Bashment Soca, that's what we want to see in Junior Monarch.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only way we can develop and train is if we develop and train. Right? If you leave them up to themselves and then quarrel about what they're doing, then you ain't doing nothing. As it relates to Piggity Crop is Piggity Crop. What else was there? I definitely want to see Soca Monarch back.
Yeah.
I think Soca Monarch.
That is really real arrangement that's coming.
Yes.
And where you see the song evolve at its highest form.
So I would like to see Soca Monarch back.
What is the one thing that you are looking to change or bring to your role?
If it's one thing that I had to identify, what would it be?
Do you want to bring Rihanna here and like do it?
My thing would be definitely the relationship between the musicians and the NCF. That's one, because I feel like a lot of musicians don't understand the process of what is necessary. Mm. And speaking as a musician who was not in the NCF and did not understand the process, I feel like it's my job to educate them on like daily process of how certain things are done. I would like to see
some more music management.
Correct.
Okay.
I would like to see a lot more development of artists, and not just within Kwapova, but developing of artists from on a national level. Assistance of artists and the NCF has been doing a great job in terms of how they've given plenty of grants to musicians in terms of helping them create albums, helping them produce songs, helping them in music videos, all sort of stuff. So I would like to see that continue. I would like to see, my last thing, I would like to see a national drive for music in all schools, obviously in partnership with the Ministry of Education, ensuring that all schools have access to the same level of music education, which is something that is not current right now, because some
all be second, hard.
Yeah.
First of all, you gotta stop with the recorder.
You're right, right.
Stop with the recorder.
I think it says stop recorder. There's a place for the recorder. The recorder is a gateway instrument to clarinet, saxophone, that sort of stuff.
I'm a clarinet player and I never played the recorder.
Yeah, but I used to
walk school with my clarinet because I used to play clarinet from six.
Yeah. So you didn't have to go through the recorder phase. I think that the major misunderstanding of the recorder is that we have a lot of people teaching recorder who do not know.
Identify with that instrument.
And if you're being real, at the primary school level, there are a lot of music teachers of music, not music teachers. There are a lot of teachers of music who do not know music, primary school level. And there are a lot of music teachers in the primary school level who are sent to teach math and English and all sort of stuff. So having a national drive to ensure that every student in Barbados have access to the same quality music education in primary school, that would be one of my biggest...
That's a big one.
Biggest thing.
That's a big one. And coming from Christchurch Foundation, who loves music, whose music program is booming right now, I can definitely say that the music program has definitely evolved my mind as a dancer and an artist, because the passion that is put into it. When I had Derry Atkins, he is a serious musician and he really pays attention to that. So, well, thank you so much. This is fantastic. I love your knowledge. I love your passion. You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you for having
Keep
me.
It going. I look forward to see what you're going to do for NIFCA this year. So look out for that. And Kwapova 2023.
Yes, please. Kwapova 2023.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This is great.
Thank you.
Great. Bye. Basody.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. This episode was recorded and produced by Robbie at Nameless Productions. That's Nameless.